just share with you some of the events, something that happened in our home. But just before she does that, I love communion and I love to remember the Lord's death and resurrection, because that's what it's all about the fact that he is coming soon, because he said we must do this in remembrance of him until he comes. And what he did, he said in Matthew 24 that this good news of the kingdom must first be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. So we've got a bit of a job still left to do. There's about 2,000 languages without even a verse of scripture. So Romans says, how can they hear unless someone goes and preaches to them? And how can they hear unless that message is in their own language, a word that they can understand? I love what it says here, be still and know I am God, for I will be exalted among the nations. And that is God's will. In Revelation 7:9, it says there was an enormous crowd, people from every single tribe and nation and language, worshiping before the throne. So people were redeemed from every language. And that's part of our job as the church, is to make sure that we can make disciples of all nations and teaching them to obey not just some of the things, not just a small tract, but everything that I have commanded you. And that's all found in the Word of God from page 1 to the end, Genesis through to Revelation. It's all God's full revelation of the person of Christ and why he had to come and suffer and die for you and I. So we're excited to report wonderful progress in the Word for the World. And God is moving in a mighty way in these last days. Even in Acts it says, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And we are noticing that it's not just a bunch of missionaries, selected few that go and preach and translate the scriptures, but God is raising up kings and priests within the people groups. So people have been touched by God's call in their lives, and they are willing to translate the word of God as we train them, and then become great missionaries amongst their own people, preaching the word of God in the way that the people can understand them, because it's in their own language. So this is a great key, I believe. I don't know if you heard me all that well before, but it's a great key. In Revelation, it says that with his blood, he purchased men for God from every tribe and nation to make them kings and priests to serve our God. And it says they will reign on the earth. So we've seen that in our Bible translation ministry, as we train and empower nationals, they are not just becoming kind of second-rate missionaries. In fact, our man from Zambia has now been selected to become the president of the Word for the World in 2 years' time. A guy who was just living in the village 15 years ago, an obscure guy who's been raised up. So we want to see many nationals raised up to work Bible translation in their own languages and become consultants and leaders in their among the churches in their own people groups. So thank you for your support as a church, and you are part of what we are doing. It's not just us, it's you. Through your giving and prayer, we are seeing multitudes come to Christ. And after Julia's shared, I'm going to show a movie that will really bless you, I believe, as you see a nation, the Gamo people, changed by the power of God's word. So thank you, Julia, if you can come and share with us as well. Thank you. Notwithstanding, you've had your 3-point sermon now, so I think we can all go home. No, I'd like to share briefly from the Word of God and thank God for the way he undertook for us as a family. And many of you here, even tonight, were praying for us. So I thank you for that, because, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers that try to throw fiery darts at us and try and undermine our faith. And Jesus came to give us full and meaningful and abundant life. So we thank God that he strengthened us through that time. And we'd value your ongoing prayers, because, you know, I think in the work of Bible translation, I travel a lot. I go to different places. Health is an issue. Some of our translators have even wandered away from the faith, which I'll be talking a bit about tonight. There's a lot of false teaching that goes around. There's even persecution. Some of our translators have even been killed as they've been trying to bring God's word to their own people. And even our own English translation came to us through one guy, William Tyndale, who was burnt at the stake for doing this job. So we need your prayers. And as missionaries, we value you so much. And we want to say that you are part of our team. So as Julia said, let's work together. And we're not going to be finished. You know, it is the Olympics. And I value you, those of you who are really sports fanatics. Even our dear pastor here said, oh, he wishes he could just see that end of that, you know, the mountain bike challenge, the cycling. You've given that up to come tonight. Thank you for that. And I just think that it's great for us to spend a few moments, you know, thinking about what really matters. You know, the Bible says heaven and earth's going to pass away. I even carried an Olympic torch 4 years ago. It was a great privilege, but it's gone now. It's in the past. And all these great medals are going to be melted in the great fire. But the Bible does say, we who build with those things that are eternal, laying up treasure in heaven, it will never pass away. So let's keep going. Now, just to share a few thoughts from the book of Timothy. So if you have your Bible here, you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And I love the book of Timothy. For me, my second, the guy that was kidnapped, his name is Timothy. So it's quite significant. And, you know, we'd really value if you did buy one of those books or two, even better, because we'd like to empty that store and see Bibles getting into the hands of people. It's a tremendous thing. You know, the Word for the World has actually now got 109 projects. And I also want to thank you as a church. We are so grateful for your willingness to give your thank offering to the Lumbia people. And please go and visit the table at the back, because you will see a brand new, beautiful Lumbia New Testament that was just launched on the 23rd of April. 5,000 copies. And even those cost about $13,000 just to publish those 5,000. But I thank God that 65% of the Lumbia Old Testament is already consultant checked. And 90% has been translated already. So we're excited, because within 18 months, we would like to see that entire project finished, all the books consultant checked, and I probably will go once or twice. We've got an old professor who's willing, he's retired now, and he's willing to give his time to help on the Lumbia project. So, you know, one of the guys that supports Word for the World for many years, he said to me, Barry, he was quite Afrikaans, he said, Barry, it's very easy to start something, but can we finish it? And that's what I believe is so important, that we become good finishers. So I'm grateful that John said, are there any projects that are nearing completion that we can help to just give it a boost and let's finish well? So the Lumbia project is one. And the other good thing about the Lumbias is that it was done by our Senna translator, John Cuddalinga. He went up north after the Senna Bible was finished, and we thank God for your church support. Many of your members here, elders, visited us twice on the field to help us with the Senna project to teach. We had 120 Senna pastors that were taught, and we even translated manuals into the Senna language from this church. So you guys have been great, faithful partners. But John went there. He's done this work as an indigenous work. No white missionary went there to help him. It's all done by Africans. And one slogan in the Word for the World is done by the people for the people. Isn't that great? Sounds like an ANC slogan. But anyway, I thank God that he is really helping us through your generosity and your prayer. Now, look in Timothy, we're going to just read verse 1 to 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work. And he adds this very important phrase, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. So may God bless this word to our hearts this evening. And I'm not going to be talking too long about this passage, but I just want to encourage all of us that, like Paul wrote to Timothy, we can put our names there because each of us are dearly beloved children of God, those of us who put our faith in Christ. And we are to watch our lives and our doctrine closely. You know, Timothy had this great responsibility of looking after this church in Ephesus. And it is believed that Paul was actually on a fourth missionary journey when he was writing this, because he was on his way to Macedonia, and he had been in prison in Rome for 2 years for his faith, and now was released to continue serving God. We're not 100% sure of the timing of this book, but it's quite likely that it was written then. And Paul, after all the years of ministry in Ephesus and praying for the Ephesians, and remember that lovely book of Ephesians, it's called the Epistle of Love. Tremendous depths of the height and the depth and the breadth of the love of Christ. And Paul gave them many instructions, but sadly already they are being misled by false teachers. So we can't think that, oh, well, you know, we're above this. We're not going to ever be deceived or misled or, you know, come under attack. And we have seen many Baptist churches, even in our, well, my short sojourn, split because of false teaching that's come in, and half the church moves off in a huff, and the pastor has to rebuild the church. Even in Umhlanga Baptist, which I spoke in this morning, there have been times where the church has been split and had problems. So we are not immune from that. But how can we avoid it? That's the, I think, the key of what I want to speak about tonight briefly. So Paul urges Timothy, he says, I command you to, you know, stop or rebuke those people who are teaching falsehoods. And what they were doing is, they were, it says here, there were endless genealogies and all these myths. And even it goes on in verse 8 to say that they were trying to bring the law back in and saying, no, it's not just the bread and the wine. It's not just the blood of Christ that will save you. You need to add X, Y, and Z. Now, whenever that happens, whenever people start adding to the scriptures or adding to God's great plan of salvation, which we know it is by faith and not by works, so that no one can boast. So if people are coming in to try and say, look, you still need to do this and this and that, then you know, okay, this is dangerous. And so you need to search the scriptures and see what the people are saying. And I believe even some of our major denominations have this kind of a danger where they have tended to rely too much on church traditions, saints of the past, even, you know, doing many things that are adding to the plain and simple gospel of Jesus Christ. It is something so simple yet so profound. And I believe that God has given us the Holy Spirit to be a watchdog, to remind us, to prompt us when something is not right. It was lovely. We had visitors last night at my brother's place, and I just want to say what a blessing it is to have my brother and his wife as deacons and, you know, people engaged in this church. But, you know, this guy was in a particular situation where he felt that there was some false teaching, and both him and his wife felt very uncomfortable about it. And they started to talk to each other about it and other folk in the church, and eventually they decided they have to leave the church. They didn't feel strong enough to confront that leader and say, what you are saying is not right. But they had to leave the church. And that church is, the particular one that they left is still going, but it's a real difficult situation. But thank God that the other part of the church is still preaching the truth, and the word of God is being, and in fact, well, I don't suppose I shouldn't give too much away, but your previous pastor is leading that church out of the deception that he had, that they went through. So we just need to know that the Word of God is our sole authority for life and conduct. And Paul goes on in this book to say to Timothy, watch your life and your doctrine closely. It's not enough just to have head knowledge and to know all about the truth in the Word of God, but we need to live it out. We need to become a participator through our life. And that's what the problem was with the Pharisees. They had all this head knowledge, and they were good at telling other people what to do, but they weren't doing it themselves. So practice what you preach. That's an important way of finding out, okay, is your life matching up with your doctrine? And I think even is your pastor's life, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying that, because we all, like Paul even said to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, learn from my example. So let us gather people around us that are serious about the truth, and let's work together to conserve and preserve the truth. And like Paul urged Timothy, don't just accept what people are saying. In fact, he goes on towards the end of the chapter, and he even says he handed them over to Satan. He cast them out of the church, because what fellowship does light have with darkness? So it's quite a tough passage if you read it through, because he even uses strong words like some people have shipwrecked their faith. And that is a warning to each of us. And Jesus said in the last days there will be many coming, claiming to be Christ, and they will deceive many, even the elect, if that were possible. So I thank God that those of us who are rooted and grounded in the Word of God will not be shaken. And no one can pluck us out of the hand of Jesus. But if you are beginning to waver, sort of, lack of interest in the Word of God, battling to come to church and stuff like that, that's also a warning sign. You need to get back into the Word and back into fellowship, because those are safe places to be. When you start saying, "Ah, I don't like the church, a bunch of hypocrites," or "Well, I don't really like what the pastor's saying," and you start staying away, it's like an ember that you take out the fire. It will grow cold. So there are a few basics in the Word of God that we need to follow. And the one is, of course, that it's only through Jesus that we can be saved. The second is that, you know, Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So if you are watching TV 5-6 hours a night, or whatever it is, and not even giving 5 minutes to the Word of God, it's not a good thing, because you're being exposed to a lot of other, you know, infiltration and stuff like that. So we need to renew our minds, as it says in Romans chapter 12, and be transformed. And that's what the power of the Word does. And that's why we translate the Bible into every language, because we want people to be transformed, and by the renewing of their minds, because we are in enemy territory. We are exposed to all sorts of nonsense in the world, and we need to get back into the Word. It's like a toothbrush or a bar of soap. It will clean us and clean our thoughts and our minds. And if we listen to somebody's teachings like the Bereans did in Paul's time, he really sort of honored them, because they got into the Word to see if what Paul was saying was right. Okay, so the Word of God is what can help us to make sure that we are not being misled. And, you know, there's so many false teachers out there, and false, be careful of these heavy kind of TV evangelists and the prosperity doctrine. So we're not only talking about, you know, Islam or Hinduism that is completely out of the Bible context, although Islam does claim to have roots in the Old Testament particularly, and accepts Jesus, but they have twisted the truth horribly. But we also, even in the Christian realm, we need to keep on bringing ourselves back to the balance. What is the Word of God saying? And I do like that saying that says, blessed are the balanced. We need to be radical in our faith, but we also need to be getting back to the Word. And the Scriptures are so broad that we need to understand them fully. And also, some folks don't even like the Old Testament. They think that this is a bit out of dated. But I want to tell you that so much of what is taught in the New is fully dependent on a good understanding of the Old Testament. So Paul, and I'm saying this in closing, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all of Scripture is inspired by God. And you know, there are many stories in the Old Testament that even make my hair on the back of my neck stand up, because it's pretty gruesome stuff. And you guys who like adventure and all these horror movies, well, the Bible's got quite a lot of that to offer too. It doesn't just hide away and, you know, add all the nice stories. There's some pretty bad ones in there. But it is a foundation for our faith. It teaches us that man is desperately sinful and, you know, separated from God. And that the law was given. And even when you read Timothy here, it says that the law was actually intended for real lawbreakers, for people who are even murdering their mothers and fathers, etc. And even slave traders are mentioned in here. So that was why God gave the law, because man's heart is desperately wicked. And he tried to show us that through the law. And now he has given us this wonderful blessing that Christ came to fulfill all those laws, that we can be saved by the simple message of Christ on the cross, him crucified for you and me. And that is through faith. And the other thing I want to close with is, you know, the reason why I even feel led to speak about this subject is because we are really under attack. I think even in the UK they're saying the word marriage is being redefined. Basic concepts and things that are obvious by biology itself. But many ways our faith and the Christian faith is under attack. But we need to stand firm. And we need to oppose those who are teaching the falsehoods, and not in accordance with words, God's word, but we must do it in love, with a sincere faith and out of a pure conscience. So we don't want to be, you know, kind of hunting down the false teachers and nailing them and, you know, exposing them, but we want to do it in love. And even when you hear teaching on a daily basis, or when you hear it on the radio, whatever it might be, discuss it with those around you. Speak to the pastor. Find out from others. And, you know, we work together to discern the truth. And in Peter, it even says that the people who wrote the scriptures and the discernment, even from myself as a consultant, I check the accuracy of scripture on every verse of the New Testament and even into the Old. And I don't believe I'm the final authority. I love to talk to others, other consultants, find out what they think about this verse. So collective knowledge, we believe in the knowledge of the crowd is more than is better than the knowledge of one expert. So let's work together to find out God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives and for our church. So may God bless you. It's been a privilege to share God's word with you tonight, and just want to encourage all of you to get into the word of God, to love the word. You know that it's actually life. The Bible says it's living and active, and it brings life. If Jesus said we must live by every word, that gives us true life. And I have found the Bible my greatest friend. Wherever I go, it's on my mobile phone. I read it even when I'm waiting in the car, or, you know, instead of always just flipping through the Facebook page, it's good to get the word into you and to share it with others, so, and to live it out. So those would be my 3 points. Get it into you, share it with others, and then live it out through practical examples on a daily basis. May God bless you, John. I'm just going to close in a word of prayer, then I'll hand back over to you. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for Paul's letter to Timothy. Lord, it's got so many basic practical aspects of the Christian faith and of how we should react as leaders in the church. And I want to pray for Durban North Baptist, Lord, that you would continue to bless this church. Thank you for the leaders. Thank you for the diaconate. Thank you for all those who are helping in different departments. And I pray that this church will be relevant to the community. It will be a church that reaches out, but always that teaches the truth, that stands on the word of God. And I want to thank you for all the different churches throughout this nation. Lord, South Africa has been blessed by you to be custodians of the truth. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to stand firm on what we believe and not to be buffeted about by different winds of doctrine and teachings. And also pray for our Bible translations, Lord, and even for new translations that come out, that they will be based on the authority and the excellence of the original messages of Greek and Hebrew that you gave through the writers, and not be changed or added or distorted in any way. And that even the Lumbia Bible will be a beautiful work of your Spirit, accurate, natural, and clear to come out to the Lumbia people, that they will know the very oracles of God, the wisdom of the mystery and the knowledge of God that is revealed in the pages of Scripture. So thank you for the treasure of your word, and help us to get more into it every day and to live it out and to share it with others. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.